voting for empire. For millions of people, there exists in their minds and their hearts a hunger for change. That hunger is becoming a driving force in the upcoming elections and is being expressed in a way that can best be summed up anybody but Bush. President Bush's cowboy-style diplomacy and the slick way he promised to govern one way, only to actually govern another, has grated on people until many just want to see him quietly pass into retirement. Moreover, the nature of the U.S. economy, with its growing outsourcing and capital flight abroad, also plays into this growing trend. I find it utterly understandable and even quite a good thing, but it has its problems. What this means in summer of 2004 is an embrace of Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, the Democratic nominee for U.S. President. But Kerry, no matter his positive features or his faults, isn't the real reason why Democrats gathered in rapture in Boston recently. They applauded him because they hunger for the political demise of George W. Bush. One of Kerry's selling points is his plan to appeal to Europe to give a hand to the American colonial project in Iraq, instead of the cold shoulder which the Bush regime has received since the invasion and occupation of Iraq. But plans are one thing, obstacles another. Nations don't deal with other nations because they like or dislike a nation's leader. They deal with others based on the guiding light of self-interest. As the British Viscount Palmerston, H.G. Temple, once intoned in the British House of Commons in 1848, quote, "We have no eternal allies, and we have no perpetual enemies. Our interests are eternal and perpetual. And these interests, it is our duty to follow," he said. When or if a President Kerry speaks softly, and perhaps in French, to Europeans, seeking an infusion of European troops into the roiling ruins of a burning Iraq, he will hear a polite yet firm response. "Pardon, Monsieur Kerry, mais non." Sorry, Mr. Kerry, but no. That's because few European leaders can withstand the floods of popular discontent that will accompany the use of their nation's troops in America's imperial exercise in Iraq. They see it as America's problem, not theirs, and they will be hard-pressed to make it theirs. Ultimately, what does it matter if Americans change the face of international policies when it's the same basic policy? While both France and Germany will no doubt lust for entree into the Iraqi oil fields, they cannot ignore the lessons of Spain or Britain. Tony Blair's Labour Party is riding low these days, and Brits are not keen to continue sending their fathers and sons to Iraq. It's clear that Blair can't buy a new term. Kerry's promise to stay the course in Iraq, one drawn for him by neocons from the oil-funded think tanks in Washington, does not endear him to many Democrats who want to see Iraq off their front pages. While Kerry's stay the course is an attempt to attract a thin slice of undecided independent voters to his card, he also runs the risk of alienating a growing anti-war segment that may choose to sit out the election, feeling it really makes no difference. What the nation needs is not a new face, but a new policy, an anti-imperialist policy. It has not had that option before it in any of the two corporate parties. If that deep, unsatisfied yearning continues to grow, it can only feed even more alienation from the established political system and perhaps to the growing process itself. Or else Kerry will be but another politician promising peace, yet delivering the horrors and loss of war. For Free Speech Radio News, from Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.